Hey, I heard a lot of amens on that. I'm going to be speaking from Luke chapter 7. Good to be here tonight. Luke chapter 7, it says, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion, servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and unto another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And just reading this passage, I believe it's a passage that we all know, we're very familiar with. And, you know, it's interesting to me, I think, whenever I see Jesus say something like this, whenever he points a man out and says, I have not found faith like this, or whenever he points to somebody and says, look at the way he is, or look how this person acts, I believe this is an opportunity for me to look at this person and learn from him. I believe if God points him out, he's a man worthy for me to learn from him. And that's why I want to look at this man and what they tell us here about him. And I just want to share a few areas in which this man was and has been an example to me. First of all, he has been an example to me in the burden he had. And the burden he had for his servant. Here we have this centurion, and he has a servant that is dear unto him, and he's ready to die. And this centurion basically does whatever he can to save this centurion, servant's life. You know, this shows to me how great of a burden this centurion had. He knew his servant was without much hope and he was ready to die, and he didn't want to let him just die. He had to go, and he heard of Jesus, and he had to find an answer. And, you know, a lot of times I know in my life, this is how I am. I'm kind of a don't really care a lot kind of guy. I'm just careless. I'm like, whatever happens, happens. And, you know, my mom always tells me that is a bad attitude to have, Stephen. Because I'm just like, whatever, you know, who cares? But you know, this is a bad attitude for a Christian to have when it comes to souls. We shouldn't be, well, they're going to go to hell, who cares? Too bad. This is a bad attitude to have when it comes to souls. And I believe as a younger kid, whenever I was younger, I had this attitude. I had a bunch of friends in school. I had a lot of friends, but I had no care whether they went to hell or not. And I'm ashamed of this attitude that I had. I never told them about the gospel. I never talked to them. I never invited them to church. And I feel ashamed because of this. Because as a Christian, I need to have a burden for souls. It's not right if you're tonight, you're a Christian, and you've learned and you know salvation, and you have no burden for anybody. That's the wrong attitude to have. I think there's something wrong with us whenever we don't have a burden in any. I mean, there's nobody in the world that you actually care enough about, that you want to tell them about the gospel, that you pray for them constantly because you don't want them to go to hell? Do you have nobody that you have a burden for? And I believe you need to look into your Christian life and make some things right, because that's not the way a Christian should have attitude toward lost souls. And I'm not asking, and I'm not saying that we need to have a burden for every single person in the world. I believe, you know, that's too much for us to take upon. You know, we can't just be burdened about everybody. I believe we need to look for somebody who's dear unto us, like this centurion. He had somebody that was dear unto him, and we need to find them and have a burden for them. I can't be burdened about everybody, but I have friends and I have loved ones that I need to be burdened about. And you can't be burdened about everybody else, and you can't be burdened about the people that I know. You need to be burdened about the people you know, and the people you love, the people you care about. Because maybe nobody else has that burden. That's yours. Maybe that's your servant you need to be burdened about. There was a lot of servants that I believe were sick in that time, but I believe this man had one man he loved and he cared for, and that's the one he took upon him to be burdened about. And we need to have burdens. And just a side note about this burden that he had, and when we have burdens, I believe we need to have a good testimony. I believe a good testimony helps us a lot. I mean, here this man, he realized he couldn't just come up to Jesus because he was a Gentile. And, you know, in that time, Jesus was saying, you know, I came for the Gentiles. And this man actually had Jews, he sent them out. He said, you know, I need y'all to go bring Jesus to heal my servant. And this man, they come up to Jesus and they say, look, he loves our nation. He cares for us. He's built us a synagogue. I wonder, would those Jews have gone to Jesus if this Gentile didn't have such a great testimony? If he hadn't done all these things for them? You know, because I see in the New Testament how Jews acted toward Gentiles. They're kind of like, well, we don't really want y'all to, you know, be partakers with us. We don't want y'all to have all the blessings we have. We're the chosen ones. God, you know. And I wonder if these Jews would have even paid attention to his request if he hadn't built them a synagogue or been loving and kind to their nation. You know, a lot of times I think my testimony gets in the way of people I have a burden for. A lot of these friends that I had in Mexico, now I have a burden for them, but my testimony has ruined any opportunity I have to talk to them and to teach them. My testimony has ruined it. So I believe that it's very, very good and wise for us to start, if we haven't, start having good testimonies. So that whenever we do have burdens, and whenever we do care for people, that testimony won't get in the way. That's one example that he has been to me. Another example of this man is the humility he showed here in this part. You know, he comes up to and he sends out messengers saying, Jesus, I'm not worthy that you should even come into my house. I'm not even worthy. I didn't feel worthy enough to even come to you. And a lot of times I get too just, I guess too familiar with God and Jesus. You know, I've grown up in a Christian home since I was a little kid, and all of a sudden all these things about Jesus are just too familiar. I've heard them all my life. So I'm just like, oh, Jesus died for me? Well, duh. Of course. I knew that. And it just doesn't strike me. Like every time that somebody says Jesus died for you, it should be like, that's true. Wow. That's amazing. Every time you think about it, you have to say, well, how can that be for me? And a lot of times I'm just too familiar with God, and I'm just like, well, forget to give respect to God. Like, Jesus, you know. He's with me every day. He's always with me. Yeah, I know all this. Teach me something new, and that might get me excited. That might get me to respect God. That's the wrong attitude. And that's an attitude that I have. I think, you know, it's been mentioned in a couple messages this week, how we can neglect our salvation. And I came to think about it that I a lot of times neglect my salvation by neglecting my Savior. Jesus Christ is my Savior. And you know, I come up to God, and a lot of times I'm just like, well, God, you know, and talk to Him like if He were just anybody else and any old buddy, and I don't think that's supposed to be. I think, you know, God, we have all the excuses, well, God is my friend, and God is all these things, but I believe we got to put things in place. You know, you can be friends with your boss, but your boss is always going to be your boss. God is my friend, but He's always going to be my Savior before He's my friend. And I ought to come with Him with respect. A lot of times I don't. I don't respect God. I don't notice Him as the worthy one. I don't see Him as the amazing, amazing, wonderful God, and myself as unworthy. I come up to Him and just kind of feel, eh, you know? Okay, God. Here I am. I mean, you know, look at all the things I've done. Can't you do this for me? Like acting like I'm all worthy of it? Instead, I need to be humble, like this man was. And also another thing I noticed about this humility in this man is it wasn't influenced. I mean, you see these Jews come up to Jesus and they're saying, man, this guy's worthy. This guy, I mean, he's done all these things for us and he's worthy that you should do this. And you know, a lot of times they say that about us. They say, oh, you're doing great. Oh, man, they're giving us some praise. And we get all feeling, yeah, that's true, you know. We feel good. Oh, yeah, I am worth something. But this man, even though they praised him and lifted him up and acted like he was worthy, that didn't influence him. God, Jesus was coming and he said, send him and say, no, don't. I'm not worthy. No matter what they say, I'm not worthy. A lot of times we need to get this in our minds. No matter what they say, you're not worthy. No matter who comes up and says, oh, Stephen, you're good. Oh, I got to say, you know what? That's not true. I'm not worthy. We can get the same way as, you know, whenever you, if you're a sports player and you go to another city to play, and, you know, they got the home team, and every time y'all run in, they boo, and the coach is going to say, ah, don't listen to them, don't listen to them. Well, the same way with us. A lot of times men are going to be shouting good things or bad things about us, and we just got to say, you know what, forget all these things, don't listen to them. You got to know what the truth is. And the truth is, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of all these things that God has given me and let me be a partaker of and be able to do all these things. I'm not worthy. No matter what anybody says, no matter how sometimes I might feel, I'm not worthy. And this man, I think just every time I read it, it shows me again, you're not worthy. And he didn't let himself be influenced. Job preached this morning also, he said about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, they came up to him and gave him so many opportunities to talk about himself. They asked him so many times, are you the Messiah? Are you Elias? Are you? And he could have said, well, no, but I'm this and that and that. But he said, every time he put it on Jesus Christ. No, don't look at me. I'm not the one. Jesus Christ. He's coming. And that's an example that this character, this centurion has been to me. One more thing I want to mention is he's been an example in the knowledge that he had. This understanding of Jesus Christ's power. I mean, he heard of Jesus and he said, there's a man that can do. There's a man that can fix. You know, he speaks and it'll be done. He knew this. And he, whenever he went up to Jesus, he had no doubt. He said, just say it. Just speak the word and he'll be healed. Because he knew the power of Jesus Christ. And I think, you know, I look at myself and I think, I could know so much more. I've wasted so much time. I should know more about Jesus Christ. I should know more about God. I just haven't put the time into it. And I think we need to know more about God. No, I mean, when are you going to be so understanding and have so much knowledge of God that you're going to say, that's enough, I'm good, I'm fine with what I know? You're not going to know enough. God, you can always learn more about God. You can always know more about Jesus Christ and His power, what He can do. I believe that's a good thing to know, His power and what He can do. And I believe having the knowledge, you may think, you know, what does having the knowledge have to do with what this man did? But having the knowledge, I believe, enables us to ask God. A lot of times we can't ask God because we don't know. Let me give you an example. A couple years ago, my boss gave me an iPod. And I downloaded iTunes, and I have to buy songs off of this program. I have to pay for each song, 99 cents for each song that I want to put onto this little thing. And so I was there paying 99 cents for every song I bought, every song I wanted to listen to, I had to pay 99 cents for. After I bought about 50 songs, I was talking to Jenny, and she said, "What are you doing? You know, Corey has a program that you can download songs free and put them on the iPod." I said, "Why didn't you tell me?" "Well, you didn't ask. You didn't ask. You know, if I would have known that Corey had that program, I would have asked." Could it be that sometimes we don't ask God for things because we just don't really know if He can do them? We're overlooking what He can do? We don't know He can do certain things, so we just don't bother asking. If we actually knew more about God, maybe we could ask for more. This enters my mind all the time. If I knew more, maybe I could be asking for more and getting more. And then, I believe if you have this knowledge, you can ask with confidence. Believing. You know, this man, his faith, because he asked, and he looked like he was so confident when he asked. Just say it, and it'll be done. And it's the same way. Like, I know my dad can fix anything, or at least almost anything. And if he doesn't know how, he'll find a way to do it. He'll, you know, do it 5 or 6 times and then finally know how to do it. I know my dad can do that. So when I go up to my dad, and the more I know about my dad, the more I know that he can do it. So I go up to my dad and I can ask him full confidence, "Dad, how do I fix my car? How do I fix this? How do I fix that?" And I can ask him with confidence, knowing that he's going to be able to. But whenever I go up to some pig, and even if he studied 4 years in college, I have no guarantee, I have no confidence that he is going to be able to solve my problem. You see the difference? When you know, when you have a confidence in somebody, because you know more about him, I believe that's how we need to be with God. The more we know God, the more we understand what He can do in His power, the more confident we can come to Him in prayer. The more confident, the more belief we can have when we ask. We can say, "Lord, I know You can do this. So, here it is." These are just a few examples that I've got from this man. Hope they bless you. Amen.